This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Congressman John Fleming, who's also a practicing physician. He represents the Pelican State's 4th Congressional District. You may remember he's joined us a number of times to talk about his efforts to defund the president's health care plan. He joins us now to talk about what the president had to announce on Monday, namely that he wants to give the states more flexibility and the option to opt out of certain major provisions of the health care plan, providing that they still provide the same amount of coverage that they would have if they had abided by all the different components of the health care plan. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, great to be with you again, Greg.
And some say this is a major concession on the part of the president because he knows there's still many critics out there. Others say this is just changing the window dressing a little bit and that really nothing has changed here. How do you look at it?
I think this is, if I were to explain this technique on a political basis, it would be this is the escape valve technique. Pressure is building up and against Obamacare because even in the early stages of implementation, it's just simply not working. It's not affordable. It's driving up premiums. And in this specific case, you have governors all across the country that are beginning to crunch the numbers, and they're saying, if this thing goes into effect the way we expect, there's just no way we're going to balance our budgets, even if we do away with pension plans and so forth. And they're showing the numbers to the president, and he's having to come up with some short-term solutions to take the pressure off. But still, we're on track for disaster in the long term.
In terms of what your governor's telling you, Governor Jindal, what's his plan right now in dealing with all this?
Well, it's a day-to-day battle because in the first year of the budgetary situation, basically our governor just turned upside down piggy banks in government to find extra dollars to make things balance, and he did, but those pretty much run dry. And he goes along with, I think, many other governors in that it makes a lot more sense if the federal government would simply create a block grant situation. Just give X number of dollars that are appropriate and let the governors decide how best to spend that money, because what works in one state may work totally differently in another state, and Washington on high is just not well positioned to make those decisions.
One of the things you and I have talked about in the past is that the new health care law has put a significant financial burden on states, namely the state's share of the Medicaid expansion that would be growing in an immense way if once all this is implemented. We know some states, I think Oklahoma at least for starters, is thinking about just abandoning Medicaid because they can't afford it anymore. Do you sense that that'll be a more common point of debate? How else are states going to deal with all this?
Well, I think they're going to have to come up in some cases with some very radical ideas because remember that of the 30 million additionally insured people under Obamacare, half or more of those, I think it's going to be much higher percentage, but it's predicted by the CBO that half of those, about 15 to 16 million, will be on Medicaid. And there's a big problem there because, number one, a Medicaid card will not get you into doctor's offices in many cases. So where do people go when they have a Medicaid card and they have a health care need? Well, they go back to the emergency room, the same emergency room they've been going to. And in this case, the utilization rates will be much higher because they won't have any liability for the bill. So it's not going to increase primary care and preventive medicine. It's actually going to create even more log jams in our emergency rooms and run our Medicaid budget just through the sky.
Let me just ask you this real point blank so we know exactly where you stand on this. Based on what the president said today, if in fact states are given this greater quote-unquote flexibility, does this make you feel any better whatsoever about what passed last year?
Not whatsoever. In fact, it only reemphasizes to me and reaffirms the fact that this this giant new entitlement, $3 trillion, cannot sustain itself. And we're already seeing signs of that. We see somewhere in the thousands of waivers given to companies because they can't comply. We're going to find more and more groups and associations that simply, Greg, will not be able to function under Obamacare. It's just exploding everyone's budget. So, no, I see this as a short-term political tactic by the president to take the pressure off of repealing Obamacare.
in terms of the funding issue now, you and I have talked about this many times. You're about to go into a major showdown over either a short extension of the current continuing resolution with some spending cuts. Some say there could be a government shutdown shortly. Where does your effort to defund the president's health care plan fit into all that?
Well, as you know, the long-term continuing resolution that would take us all the way to the end of the budgetary year passed handily from the House.
Right.
And it contained in it several defunding measures from Obamacare. Could not, if that went into full effect the way we passed it, it would kill Obamacare. Certainly parts may be taken out, and those parts may be taken out at the end of the day. But the Senate has not had time to really take it up and really debate it. So what we've decided, and hopefully this will pass, is a two-week reprieve, in which is a short-term CR, but at the same spending levels, and this is very important, Greg, at the same spending levels per week that we passed in the long-term CR. So you're talking about the same $2 billion per week of savings, even though the president would have discretion over those savings. The point is that we're now on track, if this should pass, to bend the cost curve down once and for all.
Well, let's give our listeners just an idea of the leverage you have when it comes to funding and your position in the House. Unlike the bill that you voted on and successfully did in the House to repeal the president's health care bill en masse, that, of course, would have to clear the Senate, have to meet the approval of the president and so forth. For you to defund it, you just have to decide not to fund it, right? They can't override your decision not to fund it.
Well, the funding is built into the law itself. However, since they are budgetary issues, in a CR or in a regular budget, we can actually rescind spending that's already been committed. And that's, in fact, what we did. In fact, I had a bill, I offered an amendment, which didn't get passed, but it would have taken away $1 billion for the implementation of Obamacare. So these are actually spending rescissions that we built into this passage because the authorization and appropriations has actually passed with the original bill. So you see why that's a bit of an uphill struggle, why we can't just simply immediately shut off funding, Greg, and the whole thing dies. We actually have to rescind the funding that's already been appropriated.
Does that suggest, then, that your best chance of killing this is either A, in the courts, or B, Republicans have to do very well a year from November?
Yeah, I think that at the very least we're going to have to take the Senate back and hold the House. And then I think we will have enough leverage that even if President Obama is reelected, that we would have a better than average chance of getting a repeal sign or even overriding a veto. Otherwise, it's just going to be a continuing battle, but there will not be a complete repeal of Obamacare until at least the elections of 2012. And let us hope that the Supreme Court would take it out, and then we could all come together and start this process over and do it on a bipartisan basis, which is the way it should have been done in the first place.
So many twists and turns in all of this. Congressman, as always, we greatly appreciate your time. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Louisiana Republican Congressman John Fleming, also a doctor, represents Louisiana's 4th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.